purely for that purpose, then certainly you will see the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Enjoy the song service. Always enjoy the specials. Amen. I think that the Lord is pleased with those too. So, as we said, always want to just use our talents for the Lord. That's what we're here for in this earth, really, right? Our purpose here on this earth is not to do our own will, but our purpose is to do what every son of God or daughter of God's purpose is, and that is to reveal our Heavenly Father. And so we want to do His will and use the gifts and talents and efforts that He gave us for that purpose. Amen. So welcome to the house of the Lord today. Today is Mother's Day, so I want to greet all the mothers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not much of one for ministering sermons that have to do with the holidays that we have, but for today we will. We're going to talk about motherhood today, and specifically the battle over motherhood. So we want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, and we'll begin reading at verse 10. Get a chance, you should read the whole chapter. It's really good. The whole chapter is about this topic. So, Proverbs 31, verse 10, the scripture says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." And they can say amen to that. Let's bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just trust in you, believe in you, Lord, that the portion of meat that we have before us this day, Lord, that has been prepared by you. Lord, not one of us here, we tend to go forward or mean to go forward in our lives just to, with our own efforts. We continually and constantly, Lord, look to you to guide us and give us strength in every way. We can't even take a breath without you, Lord. And so, Lord, as we stand here this morning, appearing in your presence, desiring, Lord, that we might hear from you, that we might just be able to soak up your warm rays of life, Lord, that you would just touch us and make us a better people. That's our desire this morning, Lord. We appear here to give you worship, and Lord, let you deal with us as you see fit. We pray, God, that you would do that this morning as we're gathered in your name. Several of us, Lord, each one gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, so we know that you're here. Just pray that you help us, Lord, and God, that you'd go to those who are not here today for whatever purpose it is, that you would move upon their heart, bring a conviction to them, whatever it is that they're battling. We ask, God, that you would deal with it, move it out of the way, give them a heart to serve you, to come and be in worship, Lord, at their post of duties. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Do you love the Word of God? Amen. And I'm probably not going to take anything today that you haven't already heard, don't already know, but I think it'd be good for us to go back and remember and rehearse things, and a lot of things maybe we forget. I know that when we're actually in the battle of day-to-day life, some of the things that you learn back in the classroom or some of the things you learn in church, sometimes those things, you forget them when you're out there on the battlefield. But, you know, they tell me that a soldier has to take his rifle apart, put it back together hundreds and hundreds of times. And while they're training them, they're probably going, "Why am I having to do that so much? I get tired of taking this thing apart and putting it back together. I can take it apart and put it back together with my eyes closed in the dark." Exactly. Right? Exactly. Exactly what they want you to be able to do. Just like, you know, I don't even have to think to put my hand in my pocket, you know. Yeah. You don't even need to, you know, that's how good you need to be at the things that God has given us. So we don't even need to, even in the heat of the battle when the enemy's moving in and things are tough and bullets are flying everywhere, so to speak, the fiery darts of the enemy. We don't need to be sitting there trying to remember it. This already needs to be second nature. It is written. Yeah. It is written, right? And not even tarry one bit. So may the Lord grant to us this morning just to be able to go back and talk about motherhood this morning, and specifically the battle over motherhood, because there is a battle that has been waging since the beginning. But Satan's Eden is certainly capitalizing today on what it can gain because of the destruction that's done according to motherhood. So we want to go back and remember that in the beginning, we find out, and we mentioned this the other day, that the scripture said that Adam, it was not good for Adam to be alone. We talked about how that was actually a type showing that Adam was representing here on earth the things that God was experiencing in heaven. And I think it's a wonderful thought, and it's a great thing to think that God, being the creator that he is, and just covering all space and time and everything coming from eternity, that there would actually be something in desire in his heart that could not be satisfied without you and I, right? That we would be the satisfaction to him. That seems so, it makes us feel little, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When I think about how big the universe is, there's so many, you know, billions of light years across, and yet, you know, I mean, we sit here, we're dealing with our little planetary issues, and there's planets and stars out there that are so big that we wouldn't even, we'd be like a pebble to them,
right?
You know, and yet it goes on and on and on, and all that was created by him, and yet his mind is upon us, and the desire of his heart had to be that he would bring you and I into being to have that fellowship, to satisfy that craving and that desire in his heart. So we find out when Adam was in the garden, he's representing Heavenly Father, and so God's playing it out in him. Adam was alone, and scripture said it was not good that Adam should be alone. So that equates into the fact that God didn't think it wasn't a very good feeling to him to be in eternity and be alone. And we remember we talked about how that he made the angels. Now a prophet told us this, the first thing he made was angels, because he needed to be worshiping. The word God means an object of worship. So when he made the angels, then he became God because they worshiped him. But he didn't find in the angels the fellowship that he was looking for. We talked about that the other day. And so that was played out when Adam and all the animals, and he had to name them all, but he didn't find a helpmate for himself out of the animals. So we know the scripture said that there was a sleep put upon Adam, and he took from Adam's side, God did, a rib and made the woman. And so she was that desire, and she was what he needed. Now the scripture said he needed a helpmeet, and I because he was lonely, but I don't think that he was needing a helpmeet just to satisfy his loneliness, because you know you can have friends who can satisfy your loneliness, but you see that helpmeet that Adam needed, which translates into what God needed, was more than just satisfying loneliness. It was somebody that he needed to become one with, someone that he could reproduce himself through, right? You believe that God actually is reproducing himself in you?
Right.
That he brought you on the scene so that he might place his seed word in your heart, and that you would brood over that seed word and nurture it and bring it forth into a living manifestation of a son or daughter of God. And so that's exactly what's happening, and that's exactly what Adam needed. Adam needed someone, not just to be somebody he could talk to, so that he didn't have to just talk to the wind, but he had to have someone also that he could become so much one with that when in becoming one with him, there would actually be a multiplication take place. Adam needed somebody to help him fulfill that original commission, and that original commission was to be fruitful and multiply, right? That commission still exists, right? God still intends for this world and universe to be populated with his sons and daughters. And so that commission is still there and will be and is being fulfilled. So Adam needed to help me, but that help me was more than just fellowship. That help me was someone who could he could actually join up with, become one with, to such a degree that he would reproduce himself through that help me. And so it would be someone that, you know, when a man becomes that one with someone, he becomes vulnerable to that someone. So the scriptures tell us don't cast pearl before swine, right? And think about that. We, as the bride of Christ, he is so one with us that he's placed his very deep secrets of his truths and his words within our heart.
Right.
right? He's become vulnerable to us, right? That's the way it works. You know, here's a man, he could be the king of the nation. He could have armies underneath him, and entire nations of enemies could try to get to him and not be able to get to him because of his armies. But his wife lays there beside him while he's asleep. Think about that. She knows his deepest secret. She's right there with him. And so this is what it takes to fulfill this position, being a helpmate. So he needed to help me to satisfy these things. And God's answer for that was a wife. Amen? The wife was going to be the one to answer those needs. One who comes from him. We've seen that in the scriptures, but how wonderful that is. It takes a prophet to point those things out. And those things out, if we hold them in the right regard in our thinking, they'll mean a lot to us. It shouldn't mean a lot to us to know that Abraham had to send Eliezer back to his original people to get a wife for Isaac.
Right.
We should have great rejoicing and respect to know, because that translates into the fact that you and I had to come from the same place Jesus Christ did, that we would have to be the Word.
Amen.
See, so that's what these truths are. So this wife had to, this helpmeet had to come from Adam, just like we had to come from God. We have to come from Christ. And that's the only way that it would work. So God's answer was to have a wife, one who would be one with him and come from him. And she had to come from him because otherwise there would be a rejection. Remember I mentioned the other day how that whenever they take because we are the body of Christ, right?
Right.
His body, many members. You try to put a liver in there, or not a liver, we'll say a kidney in someone that doesn't belong there. And if it's not just right, that body, that whole thing will reject that foreign kidney because there's something there that knows it doesn't belong. And so there's a rejection. So if Christ would try to marry up with something that was contrary to his word, there would always be, Brother Brandon said this word, there would always be a fuss and a fight continually. Right? And so, because if people are fussing and fighting, that means they're not in unity. Right? I've never heard anybody fussing and fighting when they agree with each other.
Right.
It's kind of interesting. But this world is full of continual fussing and fighting. I can sit out on my front porch. I did it last night. I'm not sit, but I walked outside, and I can hear in the distance. It's just different neighbors. And you'll hear them screaming and hollering at one another, just off in different directions.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. This generation has come to them because there's no unity. And so God's not going to find him a wife that's not going to be contrary to him. He's going to find one that agrees with him. So that means that she's going to say amen to the word. She's not going to be saying, no, that's not right. She's not going to be looking for ways to get around and say, well, that's not really what the word means. She's going to say that's exactly what it means. And not only that, but she's not going to be offended in the fact that it says what it says. She's going to embrace it and be happy, and she's wanting to tell everybody else about it too. Right? Because she loves her mate, the word. And so God's answer was to bring this woman, one who would be one with him and would be no rejection, taken from him, but yet become one with him through a marriage ceremony. We come from Christ, but he brings us back to himself through a marriage ceremony. So this was God's answer to help me, to someone that would be a companion to him and also reproduce himself. So this pathway of fulfilling this commission, as I said, the original commission was to be fruitful and multiply, was not just for her to be wife. But she had to become mother, right? To fulfill that, be fruitful and multiply, she had to be more than just a companion. She had to become mother. To take that seed from him and nurture it within her womb and to birth and bring that child forth as a son of Adam, or in respect to the church, become a son or daughter of God. So she was to be wife, but she was also to be mother. And so she would be giving birth. Now the scriptures tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, if we'll pull that up and read it, we're familiar with this. It says that she's a weaker vessel. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Do you know that, husbands, you should give honor to your wife? Amen. Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God without a wife could not reproduce himself. Right? Adam without Eve could not reproduce himself. Right? So they together are heirs to the grace of life. It takes both of them. And we should honor and respect one another. And so, because we know that together as a unit of oneness, we are heirs to the grace of life. In other words, we can produce and life can come from us. And this is the thing that God sought out and needed in a church. And this is what's being reflected there in Adam. He was reflected by finding this wife who could be an heir of life with him. And so the scripture says she is a weaker vessel there, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life, that he should give honor to her. And so it sounds like she's weak. Sounds like, and in the physical, because it says she's a weaker vessel. Right? You know what a vessel is? You put something in it, right? We're vessels. She's a weaker vessel between the husband and wife. In other words, her body's more frail. Man's supposed to be masculine and that sort of thing. So we could go on all kinds of routes and talk about different things there. But it sounds like she's weak, but I'm going to tell you that she's not weak at all.
Yeah.
Because she has powers and characters and virtues that can be found nowhere else. This is why God had it worked out the way he did. He wouldn't have made it to where he needed to help meet and then, well, just anything could satisfy it. She's the only one that can satisfy it, and that means that she has great powers and virtues when it comes to providing those things. So she has strengths and virtues that can produce what he's looking for. She has characters and things that she must hold very true. We know about that. And Brother Ram said she is the backbone of every nation, any nation, right? He said when womanhood is broken, then the nation becomes broken because she is the backbone of that nation. And that is absolutely true.
Right.
I think there's a song that I think Glenn Campbell used to sing it. The hand that rocks the cradle moves the world, I think is what it's called. But that's true. Mm-hmm. She is. You know, it just irks me to see how Satan has tricked women into believing that if they're going to be something in life, they have to get out there in the public eye,
right,
and go off out there and become a senator or a governor or a president or something like that. And when they think they have to do that, they're being tricked of the devil, and they're actually taking a demotion. Mm-hmm. Because the highest position that she has, she's given that by the word of God to begin with. She's the backbone of any nation, because she gets the children before anybody else does.
Yeah.
Right? She gets the children before anybody else does. Now, sisters, you wonder about, well, will I ever do anything for God, or will I ever be anything in life? You know what? You are, because when you give birth to that child and you're sitting there rocking that newborn babe that you just brought home from the hospital, there's your ministry and there's your power to change the world and to change nations right there. Every day when you sit in that rocking chair, and every time you have an opportunity to interact with that child when they ask questions or when you're dealing with situations and troubles arise, it's on your shoulders as a mother to absolutely inject into that child's life, to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, to give them the right training. You get that blank slate before anybody else gets it. And by the time dad gets it to treat him, teach him how to work on the farm or whatever, or the teacher in school gets him, or the college professor gets him, those people don't get a blank slate. But you do. You get a blank slate when that child is born. So you want to know about motherhood? Is it really worth something? Do you know that Brother Branham said that if a woman holds herself to those virtues, she has a greater reward than the man does? Does everybody know that he said that? He did. I'll bring it up and show it to you if you want to see it. So I hate the fact that Satan lies to our women. Look out there. They all think they've got to do that, and they turn around and walked away from something that was given them by the very character they have to be the backbone of the nation. To take those blank hearts and begin to create them. Because you know what? When you build a house, you build it on a foundation. And that house can never be something that foundation cannot support. So if you give a shabby foundation, I don't care what you put on top of it, it won't work because the foundation wasn't right. Now, it may sound like I'm heaping condemnation on the sisters. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you how wonderful you are. That's what I'm talking about. Because you're given the opportunity to lay the foundation in that child's life that might be president someday. That might be a senator or a governor or a school teacher for other children or whatever it might be. You're given the responsibility and the privilege to lay that foundation in that child's life. And if you don't lay it right, the backbone's gone. See, the nation's gone because that's the backbone, the motherhood. The responsibility and the power by her gifts and her virtues and her characters and the things that she can do for that child that nobody else can do.
Right?
That's exactly right. Just she can do things and help that child in ways that nobody else can. You know, mommies hold the family together. You know that? Because dad's gone all the time working. He's not the central figure there at home most of the time.
Right.
He's out earning a living. Mom is the one that's identified most around the home and the hearts of the children because her character and nature, they love mama. You want to see what I'm talking about? Go to the restaurants today and look at the people who take mama out to eat on Mother's Day and compare it to the ones to what it looks like on Father's Day. They love mama. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't love daddy like they do mama because daddy's usually harsh. He's the guy that says, get it done, get it over with, you know. But mama, she's got that character that everybody loves. You can be a 50, 60-year-old man and you still love mama and there's something you still need from mama. You see what I'm saying? Because she's that one. She's the one that holds it together. If you've lived for very long, you see what held families together. They had family reunions, and they'd come together, and watch it fall apart when mama's gone. You know Brother Bram said that about his mama?
Yeah.
Did you know that? She held it all together, but when she's gone, everything goes, see? Why? Because she possesses gifts and virtues in her that God gave to her for this tremendous calling that she has.
Yeah.
And those things are powerful. And they can move the world. Right? That's what they can do. Because she gets the children before anybody else, she can lay that foundation. By doing that, she has the highest position there is that could ever be given her. It's right there. And what she can do with the children. Even governments know that if you can change the opinion of the masses, you got it won. Mama can change the opinion of the masses. One mother can change the future for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, depends on who you are. If you're Paul Martin, a guy that works for me, I think he's got about 7 or 8. You know, but some families, my Uncle Clifford, I think he had 18 children but one wife. He was married. Isn't that how many it was? 18?
17 or
18? 18? Look at her power, Aunt Winnie. We called her Winnie. I don't know if that was a real name, was it? We call her Aunt Winnie. Look at the power she could have influenced. 17 arrows that she could shoot out into humanity. And what could they do if it's done right? Right? If those virtues are held. And so that's the thing. It's the highest position that she could ever have. Higher than any president or any monarch or anything like that. The highest position right there is given to her. And she has it just simply because she's mommy. Because she was created that way. And any time that they turn around and walk away from those God-given virtues and responsibilities to go seeking out something else, they have fallen from their original position. And they'll never affect like they can at home. And that's the truth. So that's her highest position. She can get more done there than she could ever do anywhere else. You take one woman over her little flock, her little group of sheep there, and she can get more done in the positive direction for humanity and for the gospel than if that woman went out and became the president of the most powerful nation in the world. See, the devil don't want you to think that, but that's the truth.
Right.
You know, as I've said many times, when I leave work, when I retire or whatever, Baldor, I don't want that to be a happy day for the guys that work for me. I want that to be a sad day whenever I'm retiring or whatever. And I believe it will be, you know. But that's the way it is with Mama. You know, when Mama goes, it's a sad day, right? Yeah. I'm not saying it's not with the dad, but you understand what I'm saying. Because the reach and influence that she has. So she can get more done being Mama than she can anywhere else. With her body, she can bring forth children to her husband and to God. And with her body, she can send millions to hell. What's your choice? What is the choice? Right? With her character inside her, she can help where nobody can help. Or with that character, she can crush like nobody can crush. Now, I'm saying things the prophet said. You know that if you're in the message. But it's true. So my point is that she, like he said, she has this virtue, and if she can hold herself to these virtues, how much greater reward she will have than a man will. Because she has to fight battles that the man don't have to fight. She has to protect the womb of her womb to make sure that it's only touched by one. Man don't have to do that. You know, I'm not saying man can go and have as many wives as he wants. I'm saying that man is giver of seed. He's got one seed, it's him, see. But she has to choose what she receives. See, we don't have to fight that battle. But she does. And if she can hold herself true so that her purpose to be that receptor of one seed from one genealogy and produce children to that virtuously, to that genealogy, that's her highest position she could ever have. That, if she can hold herself true to that, then she will have a reward that the man can never even touch. Right? Because of that. It's God's plan. He's the one that did it. But with that same gifts and so forth that she has, she could turn the world upside down and make chaos out of it. And if you don't believe it, just look outside. Because that's exactly what's happened. It's become a woman's world. Worship, woman worship. She should be honored, but not worshipped. Yep. There's a difference. She should be honored, but not worshipped. You know, one of the most powerful weapons that we have for keeping peace on this earth, you could say, and it is a false peace because it's motivated by the wrong thing. True peace would come from the Word of God. But nevertheless, one of the most powerful weapons we have on this earth for keeping peace is the atomic bomb. Because everybody knows if you mess up, look at the destruction it can do. Right? So the kinds of tools, it's kind of like, I forget what it was. I had a guy at the house years ago doing some dozer work for me. You know, and if you want to manicure your yard, you don't use a brush hog to do it with. And my point is that if you want something that's powerful that could really make a big wide cut in your lawn of mowing, and it can cut down trees and things that are so big, you know, that your lawnmower couldn't do, you go for a brush hog, right? And it's powerful and it can get a lot done, but don't think that you're going to come up with that brush hog and come right beside that little flower bed and just ever so closely just get right to the last blade. No, you're going to absolutely tear the thing plumb up because you're going to bump it. And my point is, the power that's there can get a lot done. It's not the kind of thing that you want to use for, you know, fine things like that. So atomic bomb is powerful. But in that tool could be so destructive, but in the right hands, it can cause peace. Yeah. And so, you know, a woman, her character is powerful. And so she can be used for the kingdom of heaven and do great, powerful things. And unlike the brush hog, she can also manicure, if you understand what I'm saying. She can touch things in such a sweet way that the man cannot. But that same gift can be used in the hands of the devil and has been used in the hands of the devil to destroy. That's why Satan went right straight to the woman. That's why he went to her in the garden and not Adam. because of these things. So she both physically, and you know, she tithes to church, so both physically and spiritually, she is a natural, these things are true, but the church is also the same way. The church is powerful, a powerful presence here on the earth that can get things done for God, but it also can throw thousands of people into chaos and send them to hell if they're not receiving and have the right seed within them. Right? That's the thing. You realize, you can say there, Jesus Christ is more powerful. I don't doubt that. But her presence here, the church, the presence of the church is what makes a great deal of difference on this earth. And it's typed out in the fact of the moon and the sun. Which is bigger, the sun or the moon? Well, you know, the sun's a whole lot bigger than the moon. But which one controls the tides? Why? Because the moon's a whole lot closer. The moon's presence here at this earth, and remember, water's in the Bible as peoples. The presence of the moon causes more movement of the waters, so the presence of the church could have more effect on peoples, right? Because that's what they're here for, because he set us here to be lights on this earth while he's gone, right? In that aspect, even though it's him in the presence. So how vulnerable is he? Well, if his church doesn't follow his leadership, they don't get anything done for him. He's vulnerable. You understand what I'm saying? But a church that's virtuous, and he puts his seed within them, and they go forth and they do the things that the gospel has called them to do, look at the power of what can be done. And so she is, this is why Satan went after her, because of this, and she is the type of the church. Throughout history, now I've said this, you know, several times now already, that if she could hold herself true, then she'd have a better reward than the man. Many women have failed. Millions. Most have failed that virtue, call for virtue. A lot of them. I say most, I don't mean that to be in a bad way, because in the previous generation, perhaps it was that most women were virtuous to their call in the natural. But certainly today and nowadays, it's almost an unheard of thing. And so many have failed throughout the years. Many churches have failed throughout the years. But God's always got somebody that'll hold true, that has that virtue. And so he has one, and she won't fall to Satan's mold. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to fit you into the mold. He wants to define your clothing. Right. He wants to define your shoes and the way you walk and the way you look and the places you go and the things you do.
Yeah.
And how many boyfriends you have before you get married and how many husbands you have after you get married. He wants to define it, and it's a mold he has for this generation to push everybody through. But God's always got somebody. He's always had a voice, and he's always had somebody in every generation that would hold true and would fight the standards of the day that Satan has put out there. So I said this to say that good, virtuous motherhood is a battle.
Yeah.
It's a continual fight. Not just on your own appearance and your own self, but with your children to hold them and raise them in the admonition of God. It's a fight. It's a battle continually, because if you hold a standard in your house, there's many things you have to say no to, and your children not having the Holy Ghost, not understanding why it's that way, sometimes you become the enemy to that child.
Yeah.
They think so. They think you're an enemy. They just think, well, mom and dad don't understand nothing. No, we understand. We're fighting for our lives and your lives continually all day long, trying to keep that standard of God's blessing over the home. So it's not easy being a dad, and it's not easy being a mother, especially because she's the one that has to be pressured continually, day in and day out, with the children whenever they feel like they're they're not being blessed and they're deprived or something like that. And so, but God's always got somebody that will stand true to his word. She won't fit into that mold that Satan has given. And it's so easy, because that mold, our flesh has a natural draw to go fit inside that mold. See, so we have to, not only are our sisters fighting against society and all that, or fighting against their flesh, or fighting against all the wiles of the enemy that comes through so many different avenues, but it's a fight. But God's always got someone who stand there and be true to that call. You know, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary did. She held true, right? She held true because it was a rare thing that she could have been in that city she was in and be a virgin, right?
Yeah.
It was a rare thing. It was an odd circumstance, just like it is today. It's an odd circumstance. But yet God can do it, and God has it. So Mary held true to the thing in her day, and you know what? That wasn't easy. That was not easy for Mary to be where she was at and to remain virtuous. It's not easy for any woman, because remember, back in the garden, Satan set his eyes against the woman. So throughout every age, she's been the target. And because she's a weaker vessel physically, she really becomes the target. Right?
Yeah, right.
And so that's the way it works. Satan goes after her, but God has always had someone to stand true to the true, and so Mary did in her days, and in our day, the bride will not fit in the mold of the world.
Yeah.
And I say that because I believe you're the bride of Christ, and it's just, I wish I could tell you it's going to be easy, but it's not. It's just a battle. It's a continual, everyday battle, but you got to keep pressing on because you're standing in the greatest position you could ever stand, ever. Right, in this world, is to stand as a mother teaching them children. I'll tell you right quick, my wife puts up with things, you know, the day-to-day pressures that I'd go bonkers if I had to listen to crying babies all day long. I'm serious.
Man.
So, you know, I guess if she ever gets tired of me being in the house, I'll give you a little key. Just go pinch one of the little ones, and I'll get up and head on out, you know, if it stays that way very long. But, you know, understand what I'm saying. She's got the ability to deal with things like that with the children, just like the man has the physical body to go out there and move a giant log or whatever needs to be done and fix fence and, you know, change the oil in the car or whatever. There's a position for him. There's a position for her. And so she won't give in. The bride will not give in. She'll have to fight continually, but she'll stay true to the word. She'll stay true to the commission, that is to receive that seed word from her husband. And though there are all kinds of obstacles, you realize how many things that could go wrong in birth and from beginning to end? You realize how many things could go wrong after birth until that child's brought to maturity? It is a continual, all-day, everyday onslaught of things trying to destroy that life coming forth. And so when a woman has given birth to a child, she's already been successful at many attempts of different things to try and destroy that fetus in her womb. Right? She's already made many successes like that. And as she goes on raising children throughout the ages and raises a child to maturity, she's won many victories already. There's so many things that could go wrong. And so she has that commission to receive that life, nurture that life, protect that life, let that life grow within her and grow to maturity and give birth to it. Right? She's been given that responsibility. And no matter what the trials are, no matter what it is, mommy somehow knows how to pick up and deal with it and move on and deal with what comes. She has a love within her that even the scriptures talk about. She will take that seed. She will nurture it. Once it's birthed, she will continue to nurture it, raise it, teach it in the admonition of God, and bring it to maturity. That's her call. That's her call. Not just being a friend and someone that the husband can fellowship with. And so, it's the highest calling there is in the land. Look what the world's done to it, though. Look what they've done with it. It's mostly what you see out there. But the world has taken this high calling for women and has destroyed it. Now, when you think about this, remember all the things that Brother Branham said about it being a woman's nation. And it's on our coin. And we're fixing to get a president, probably, if we're not careful, that's a woman. right? And you know the prophecy. Cruel at heart, right? So, the world has taken motherhood and taken women and taken that powerful atomic bomb gift and they're using it for destruction, right? That's what's happened. But in the midst of all that, God's always got someone. He's got a little bride and some of them assemble right here in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that's not going to fit into that mold of the world. They're not going to let the world define what they wear, the way they walk and put makeup on and how they're going to find a husband and marry and give birth to children and send their children off to here and there while they go do something else and all this kind of nonsense. They will hold that responsibility high regard continually, 24/7. God's got people like that. So the world, they have women out there, and look in their ranks. Now this is, I don't have the quote before me, but I remember Brother Brown talking about this, and he was saying that the woman types the church, and in the natural, they're kissing around and slopping around and doing all these things they shouldn't be doing. And he said, they're a type of a church. And when you look at that church that they're a type of, they're not holding true to Jesus Christ. They're kissing around and slopping around with every other doctrine and every other man-made system and everything else but the Word, as he said, right? And he says, and members of such, this is the thing I want to get you, members of such actually look, dress, and act like that woman who's a type of it. Did you catch what I just said? You got women who are filthy, that are a type of a filthy church system, and the women in that church system, there they are.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
But you've got the bride of Christ, a virtuous woman, right? She's a type of a church that stays true to the Word and will not compromise nowhere, anyway, in any form. She'll stay true to the Word, and look inside her ranks. What do you find in there? You find virtuous, living, godly women. Because that's the type of what they are. So you see, in the ranks of the world, you expect them to look like the world and live like the world because they are the world. They're just trying to pack a Christian name. But in the ranks of the bride of Christ, you expect to find in the church holiness, purity, right? And the sisters in those churches, you expect them to be full of holiness and purity and have purpose that's not been destroyed by Satan, right? Because they are a type of those things. So you find out that we expect to find a holy standard in the church. Right? We don't expect just to stand up here and preach holiness and say that we should be a holy people, but we expect to see it lived out.
Amen.
And I'm not saying we expect, I'm telling you better do it. I'm saying if the thing's working right in the ranks of the bride of Jesus Christ, you got women who dress and act according to holiness.
Right.
To a standard that still believe in teaching them children, that they are the first and foremost trainer of them children. And they're not going to give that spot up, because even when that son is 60 years old, mom could still sit him down and instruct him. Dad should be able to, but you understand what I'm saying? They don't give up on that responsibility, no matter when, what, where, when, and why. They keep it until God takes them home. They keep that responsibility in their heart to raise them children and to continue to try and guide them in the right direction. So we know in their ranks they're going to be that way, but we know that in the ranks of the bride of Jesus Christ, there's got to be a holy standard. Got to be. Now remember, I told you, I've said it many times, I even illustrated it one time on the slideshow in Fort Smith, when Brother Ram talked about his mother having dreams just a few times, but every time she had it was right. And she had the dream about the highway that reached to heaven. And there were three steps that went up to the highway. And those steps was justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which took them up to the highway. So that had to be a message highway, because the message is what came after those three steps. And it's this message that takes us to glory. And in the dream said there was a woman there with high heel shoes on. And you know what high heel shoes, even size tell you about what that, but know what it does. There's no way high-heel shoes is going to produce a godly walk in a woman. It just ain't going to happen. I don't care how hard you try. Right? And in that dream, this woman said, I'll show you that I can walk that highway with these high-heel shoes on. And she jumps up there and heads up there. And the road gets narrower. This message gets narrower. Can't say it for some reason. As we get closer to the gates. Yep. And it gets steeper because it's going up. And said, and as she thought she could, in other words, she walked this message for a while.
Yeah.
But then it got tough. But who made it tough? It was God's highway. And it got tough, and she began to lose her balance, and she fell off, going into the flames, screaming and hollering and crying. See? And I think, if I remember, I think Brother Branham in the dream said, see, she just missed one thing. She just one word's all it took, see? One word. But see, holiness. Why? Why would we embrace something that gives the wrong message out? Why would we embrace something that we know when we embrace it invites evil spirits in? Right? See? This whole entire message that we believe, this whole thing is that highway. And our opportunity to do what the Word said so that we don't fall off before it's over with. Right? To hold that holiness standard. It's a highway of holiness. I call it that. I don't think that's what... But I call it just by typology, knowing that it's getting steeper and it's getting narrower. And God is putting his finger on these issues that people think they can walk in this message with. And from the beginning, he declared they couldn't. And they're in denial and they keep trying to walk with it. It will throw them off the track before it's over with. And I said all that just saying to build up around the fact that in the ranks of the Bride of Christ, we expect holiness, not just in women, but in the men too, walking and living in holiness. And she, a virtuous mother, she's the very description of that. You can see it in her. You can see holiness in her before you can a man. Because the way she goes to the supermarket and stuff, she dresses right, she looks right. And listen, by the way, sisters, I don't care how wicked men are down inside them, they do have something that says, you know what, that's the right way for a woman to act. That's the right. There is something in there that knows that's right. And many of them, if they're not too far gone, will respect that. I personally believe that if women still held their virtues and they demanded that a man be a gentleman, and they demanded that men conduct themselves the way we know the Bible said they would, men would do it. Because they'd have no choice. Somebody might say, well, if that's the case, there'd just be more homosexuals. No, it'd be the opposite. Because that virtue she has is very powerful. And so, in their ranks, we expect that. But in the ranks of the bride, we expect to see holiness. And by the way, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, if she has that, put that up, please. We are to follow peace with all men and holiness. Did I read that right? That word, holiness. Without which, no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
Think about that. Did you ever notice that? Without that holy standard, you'll never. See, in this passage right here, what this is talking about, you'll never see the Lord. You won't see him like you want to see him. So that whole, what, you know when the scripture says, professing godliness, you know, I forget the way it says it, denying the power thereof, right? You can profess godliness, profess Christianity, profess to be the bride of Christ, but if your life doesn't have the fruits of what it's supposed to be, right? Your life is denying the power of God, that he has the power to make you into a holy lifestyle and give you a holy lifestyle. That's what I'm getting at, trying to get to. So, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So it is required.
Amen.
It is required. Sisters, I know you fight battles, but it's the most worthy thing in the world out there, that battle that you have, to stand true. And I say that because I know you Satan's crosshairs are on you. And I thank God the fact that you stand up against the things that the devil wants to put upon you. You remember the vision, Brother Branham, about the women marching churches. The vision of the women. And each one had their national ID, but they all had their clothing and their appearance. They all was there, they were all marching there, and they were there very clearly representing, declaring what they were. Mm-hmm. By their apparel and by their marching and by the music they listened to. There they were. It does matter the way, the step that you step. It does matter what you wear. It right. does matter what beat that you're walking to.
Right.
It does. In the presence of a prophet who's looking through the eyes that God gave him, that man was seeing what God sees.
Yeah.
And the vision, he saw all these churches, 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 women, 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 mothers, mothers, mothers. Each one having their chance to march the way they should. And each one, as they were given their chance, they were marching with the clothing they wanted to express, the music they wanted to express it to march to, their walk. They all had their opportunity, and we all have our opportunity today. When we leave here today, we'll have our opportunity to express. And we're going to express an apparel, we're going to express a walk, and we're going to express it to the theme of some song. If you understand, the song of the gospel or something else. And they all had their opportunity, and guess what? Most of them, you know, they were filthy. They weren't godly. And especially the Church of the United States. And okay, remember, the Church of the United States, half-dressed, or no, it was worse than that. You know the description. But remember what I showed you a while ago. Here's the church and members of such like that. Women calling themselves Christians, representing a church system that was naked and only had just a little bitty something covering up a small portion. This is what God saw. And this is the way they're dressing and acting naturally, right? And that group of people were marching. And Brother Branham, as a prophet of God, he was crying and just broke down and says, God, as much as I've preached and as much as I've done, is this all that I have to offer to you? And then he heard another group coming, marching to onward Christian soldiers, dressed right, walking right, to the right beat, to the right song. Right? Churches, women, individual sisters with an opportunity to express what they're supposed to, and there just almost wasn't one. Most of them walked by and had missed the mark, but yet underneath a message, there was one more group that God had set aside, because he's always had one.
Yeah.
One more group set aside, sisters who did dress right, did act right, had the right spirit, had the right song, the right melody in their heart representing, and that's what God saw.
Yeah.
And in the vision, Brother Branham described it, that bride, that group coming, she was marching and going up. And while she was marching going up, those other groups were going down. Now, saints, that's what's happening. I don't care what the world wants to draw it up and make it look like and glamorize. To live and act like the world and be in those church systems like that, you're marching over the curve of the earth going down or wherever it was. But the bride of Christ holding true to the virtues of motherhood in the midst of an onslaught against it, she's the one marching up.
Yeah.
Marching up. Not to all this newfangled rock and roll shimmy and, you know, it's vulgar to think about what Brother Branham saw there in that vision. But what the true bride of Christ is a glorious thing to look at.
Amen.
Glorious. Nothing scandalous about it. This is the way God calls us to live and walk without blame. I know the world will always blame you, but we are to walk into the presence of His Holy Spirit according to His Word and walk blameless. And that's what we should do. Should never be found among us anything questionable. And so God, His Holy Spirit, is the one that can give those things to us. So that group was going out down and the Bride of Christ was marching up. I believe this is a description of real, true, virtuous mothers. The one that the original scripture said, who can find a virtuous woman because her price is far above rubies. Well, you know, I don't know what I'd do with a ruby. I don't. I know it's a stone that people covet, I guess. I've never had a desire for one. But I do have a desire for a wife who walks virtuously, and I've got one that holds, that doesn't go the way of the world. Okay? But I think this is a description of true motherhood, the ones who hold themselves true to the gospel. And true motherhood should be honored every day, not just on Mother's Day Sunday. Right? But sisters, I want to tell you, when I say that true motherhood should be honored every day, it starts with you. You honor motherhood. These things that we just talked about, the Word of God, you do it. You have to do that. This is your walk. What you have to do. You've got to make up your mind you're going to hold that standard regardless, no matter what. And then when the going gets tough every day and the kids are screaming and nothing's going right, you're still going to hold that standard. If sometimes you may have to sit down and take a breath and tell everybody to just let's regroup for a minute. But you're going to have to. So in other words, that honoring of motherhood needs to be every day by everyone, but it starts with mommy. And we know, we read in the scriptures, that the husband should honor her too. So husband should honor true motherhood, right? He should do that. As a matter of fact, it says that his prayers be not hindered. So if you don't honor that, then you have problems with that. How about children? Shouldn't you honor your mother every day? Think about it. There's an all-seeing eye that's taking account, that's watching. The scripture said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth. It goes on to say, hey, that's the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise is to honor your father and mother. What was the promise part? That your days may be long upon the earth. You defy your mom and your dad, and you'll have a rough time of it, and probably a short time of it. But if you honor mom and dad, and I'm trying to stay focused on the fact that it's motherhood we're talking about, you've got to honor that mother. She loves you more than probably anybody else other than God, and she's not there trying to make your day bad. She's trying to do what's right for you in the long term. She knows what down the road is coming and what she's got to do now to make sure you're good then, and that you're blessed then, and you're successful then. That's what mommy's doing. People wonder what Jesus Christ was doing. The scripture said that he came to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father was to come and save those which were lost. And we might be sitting around going, well, you're just trying to tear up our religious system. No, he was trying to save that which was lost. It didn't look like it to other ones, but he was about the Father's business, saving that which was lost. Sometimes you don't understand what mommy's doing, but I can guarantee you she's about saving you down the road. Yeah. And so is dad. So there's plenty of room for people to honor mother, not just by taking her out to lunch on Mother's Day. That's a cop-out. It's fine to do that, but it's a cop-out. Right? And I'm not saying you take her to lunch every day of the year. I'm talking about rendering to mother the things that she deserves, the honor she deserves in all aspects of life that she deserves. But sisters, you have to live that. You have to have that. And I say that because people listen to these from the internet, and I'm not saying that in a negative way to any of you, because I believe that you're good, godly sisters. But you have to live that way. You can't expect to live like a devil and then expect your husband to honor you. You see what I mean? I don't know who it was recently. Somebody telling testimony. I forget who it was. Might have been a visiting minister or whatever. But they were talking about husband telling his wife, said they were weren't getting along. They're fussing and fighting or whatever. And he said, "You better be careful. You remember what happened to Mina when she did what she did to Brother Branham? You better remember that." She gave a good response. She said, "When you start living like Brother Branham did, then I'll start worried about it." Now, it's terrible that a home would be that way. Right? But there's some truth to that. Surely people don't expect me to honor that one that's sitting in the White House. Let him live in a way that can be honored. I'll give it to him happily. Or anywhere else, any other office in the land. Right? Right? Even in the pulpit. The man standing up here. You got to live in such a way that it can be honored before you can really expect people to live to honor that. And so, for motherhood, it needs to be honored in all facets of life, not just on Sunday, Mother's Day, Sunday. It needs to be always. Now, I am glad we're good, godly mothers. As a husband, I have seen what a good wife can do. Not just in my wife, but I've watched it in the sisters. And I can see the power of a good woman in the home. Because Brother Branham said it this way, and it's true. I think maybe even the scriptures see a jewel in his crown, but a virtuous woman. But one that's bad is like water in his blood. What is it saying? Coursing through your veins to make you live, you need blood. It doesn't need to be watered down. You start watering down a man's blood, his lifeline, you're destroying him. And I've seen it, and I see it. Their lives being destroyed left and right because of Satan attacking womanhood. But I have seen it and know how wonderful it is that we have sisters here. You know, there's several. There's never been married but just one time. You know, some maybe not. But under the hospice of the message and of truth and commanded from God that we don't make those mistakes and do those things over again, but under the right kind of teaching. Brother Red said, what was it? It was all false teaching that caused it. The standard was lost long ago, and then all these people come along and they didn't know. And the standard was not given to them, and they made the mistakes. But now, under the truth of the hour that we have, the message that we have, we know that we walk and holiness and walk in the way we do. And I'm glad that I can see that, and I see the fruits of those things of what it does when you have a godly wife and a woman in the home. And I've also seen what happens when you don't. There's so many aspects of what it entails. But I think that if you're a man and you can look at your wife and you can say within your heart, I'm not asking you to say, is she perfect? But if you can look at her and say, you know what? She's done me good. She's been good for me. Because remember, Brother Ram said, the best thing is salvation, but the next best thing that God could give a man is a good wife. If you brothers could look at your wife and say, you know what, she's done me good. There's been days it's not been so good, you know, there's been things, but I have to say after all these years that she's done me good every day that I've been with her. All the days of her life that I've been married, she's done good. That's what the scripture said. Then I think that she's a candidate for you to give great honor to, great respect to. And also, if you young children, look at your mom. I see it. I see what my wife does for the children. I don't know if the children see it, but the wife, you know, I see it. But if you can look at your mom and say, you know what, she does so much for me. She has meant so much for me. Then you need to honor that. And I'm not talking about just today. But you remember that. You remember that on days, especially when you see her having a rough time. It means more than anything in the world to her for you to come up to her and give her some sort of support that she needs in that hour of great trial. Rather, when you see things getting all frustrated and you see things getting complicated and she's having a hard time dealing with I got to do this and this happened and all this, something else come up and she's all frustrated, don't go on there and just add to the frustration. When you see it's getting rough for her, figure out a way to come and make it easier for her.
Amen.
Right? That's what you should do. You know, you should do that for anybody. Your brothers, sisters, anybody. See? Because God hath called us to peace, not contention. Amen. And I think that following these things in the home is a great place. Because if it don't work in the home, don't export it. If it don't work in the home, don't expect to go out and tell other people, come be like you. It's got to be right there where you walk every day. Amen. I mean, he is thankful for good mothers.
Amen.
Good wives. Amen. Always chuckle about it, you know. Like, it's Mother's Day. Did you get your wife something for Mother's Day? It's like, well, it's Mother's Day, not Wife's Day. You know. But a husband appreciates a good wife.
Amen.
And a husband probably is happy to join in with the Mother's Day activities to show his respect and thankfulness to her. And so, amen. Let's let the musicians come. I thank the Lord for the godly sisters that we have. And my wife has done me good all the days of my life. You can see it right here. I was thinking, I think who it was I told yesterday, but my grandmother, she lived in the kitchen all them years. And you start thinking about three meals a day, 365 days a year for 50 some odd years. She was older than that, but I mean, even just 50 years, you add up a number of meals. You young people, won't you do that? Wednesday night, you guys come back and tell me, you young people, how many meals that is in 50 years that a grandmother or a mother would have created and cooked for her children. And bonus on top of that, if it takes an hour and a half to, how long does it take to cook a meal average? Hour and a half? Hour? Okay. How many hours that is? Probably the same number of meals if it's hours, so we would, that would be self-explanatory. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of effort. You wonder how those hands get all wrinkled and that body gets broke down where they're slow walking. They didn't get that way doing nothing. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, we come to you now to thank you for your blessings upon us this day, just to reflect over the things that we know is true from your scriptures and from the message, Lord, about motherhood. Lord, we know that the enemy, when he finds something that works for him, he just absolutely puts all of his efforts into that, and that's exactly what's happened. But Lord, we are so thankful that you have a bride. Your prophet said she is predestinated not to fail. And Lord, in that bride of Christ, the members of such, Lord, they are virtuous, walking sisters who have positive influence on the lives of her children and those around her. Lord, we just want to thank you because this is your doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. We love you, Lord. We ask for your blessings upon each sister as they go today, each mother, Lord, that they would feel blessed, Lord, and know that they are respected and that the respect that they receive and feel today, that they will feel it and receive it always, every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. As Brother Tim gets a song to sing. Brother Tim's like, what song's that going to be? Blessed be the tie that bind. I know that's the gospel, but it's also mommy. Right? She's the tie that binds the family together good, too. But we sung that earlier. If you want to do that one. Amen. It's going to be a great meeting place one of these days, saints. God's going to get us all together once and for all. We won't have to leave. Amen. Let's worship the Lord now.
Our heart.
And we hope to meet your mothers.
Amen.
Amen. We do. They walk so wonderfully. I can tell you that my grandmother, she made an impact on my life. Amen. And I'm glad she did. Amen. Because of all the people I know that could have made an impact in the positive direction like that, most of them didn't. Amen. So I'm so glad that she did. Amen. So, God bless you. I'll let you be dismissed. I think Brother Tim's looking for another song.
22. I've never seen this one before. 22.